Welcome back to Dome Theory. I'm Bob. Oh, Bobby sent me the wrong script. Hold up. Welcome back to Dome Theory. This is episode 117 of Dome Theory. I'm your host, Nate Sperlin, joined by my guest, Isaiah Nins. Before we get into anything, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Check out all the CLNS content. That being said, Isaiah, how are you doing today?
I'm feeling good.
That's good. Feeling good, looking good. I mean, what is that? A Syracuse Orange hat? I mean, I don't know about that, but like everything else seems.
Gotta hold my orange, man.
That being said, before we get into any topics, we have a fantastic show where you have some baseball to talk about, of course, some NFL to talk about, and then we'll talk about a little bit of WNBA finals. That being said, we do have an ad, so make sure that Bobby's lights are kept running. By the way, Bobby is at a Daniel Caesar concert right now. So hopefully when he gets home, the lights are still on after we pay for his light bill. That being said, snap into action this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. Wow, that sounds like a good deal. What do you think, Zay? Good deal? He said
Not if you're
yes.
Bobby, man. Bobby's account is negative 3,000 right now.
That is $200 for bonus bets in win or lose. That being said, if you have been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time than now to get into the action. This app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over and unders, and more. So visit FanDuel/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. Disclaimer. You must be 21 or older, present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbookfanduel.com. Gambling help line Massachusetts. So that's gamblinghelplinema.org. Or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSense, Massachusetts. Once again, that's GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. That being said, we have paid Bobby's bills, and now it's time for us to get into the real reason why you guys are here. Let's talk about some sports. Say, what do you think?
I'm ready for some sports.
All right, man. I mean, we just finished watching a nail-biting game between the Rangers and the Astros. We saw the Rangers beat the Astros in game two of the ALCS 5-4, even though Aroldis Chapman was getting ready to get rid of it and allow the Astros to win, which I think as all baseball fans who live outside of Houston will probably agree with, we don't want that to happen. That being said, I think the first thing that we want to talk about, well, the first thing that I want to talk about is the fact that three out of the four teams with byes have been eliminated in the division round. So, Zay, my question to you is, how much does the bye play into the fact that we have the Dodgers, Braves, and Orioles winning a combined one game in division series?
I don't know that it's necessarily all on the bye. It's probably a mix of things. Maybe the break does hurt them rather than help them. But I really think that it's just that the teams that weren't that great this year are better than expected. I think that a lot of those teams were fighting in real close fights to the end to get into that wild card. So these weren't, some random losers losing records playing. These were serious teams that were fighting to the top. So them being out, I don't know that it's solely attributable to them not playing for that week, having that week off. But going forward, maybe it might be something to look at. But I really think that it's a case of the teams that are in it are better than expected. They played tough this whole year, and they're showing that, they weren't just some random wild card teams. These were real teams that made the wild card.
That's a good point. I think that, especially down the stretch, especially in the National League, we saw it was basically a dogfight to get into the playoffs and qualify for that tournament in the first place. However, I do think that there is something to be said for the fact that baseball is such a rhythmic game, and especially in baseball, it's really about who's hot, who's the hottest at the right time. And I think that the week off really takes all four teams out of being the hottest at the time, because they may end the regular season as hot as possible, but then you have that week off and obviously the momentum is killed because of that. So I think that it's more about, I think there's more to it than just the week, but I think the week is a very big contributor. I mean, of course, when you look at the Dodgers, especially the Dodgers, the fact that they have no pitching at all, I think it was like five innings from combined starters over the course of the three games that they played, like that's inexcusable. We knew that they had issues with pitching going into it. The Braves is just, I don't know what to say about that. The Orioles, I can say that they're a young team. Did they make the playoffs last year?
No.
Yeah, so they're a young team, and usually young teams need to get a little pow-pow and get out the playoffs before they're actually able to win. So I can contribute that to, or I contribute that to the Orioles. But that being said, between the Dodgers, the Braves, and the Orioles, which team is the biggest letdown?
It's got to be the Dodgers, because they do this every single year. You know, Bobby so often speaks about the COVID year title, and, you know, it was only 60 games played, and it's a ring whether, you know, it's COVID or not. They walk away with the trophy. But it's definitely concerning if you're a Dodgers fan that every year they're about as good as they are the year before. They're a 100-win team basically every year. They're at the top of the NL. And this is, I think, out of the last 5 years, four serious failures, one title in a reduced season. So if I'm a Dodgers fan, I'm just thinking, you know, it's got to be Shohei now, because we stack up everyone else and it just is to no avail. They need something new. They need something fresh. I don't know what it is, if it's coaching, if it's just the team isn't prepared for that. I mean, they've got stars on the team, and they just can't seem to put it together. So maybe it's time for a new bright face straight out of Japan, and maybe he'll lead them back to where they want to be. But at the moment, it's got to be the Dodgers. They can't do this every year, is what I think they said last year, and now we're here.
Yeah. Quick point about the Dodgers to refute your point. I think that from the standpoint of what the Dodgers front office set the expectations to be before the season started, I think they overachieved, actually.
Really?
They really only have Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman as like stars. Clayton Kershaw always has his issues in the playoffs. Julio Urias gets arrested for domestic violence and is probably never going to pitch ever again, rightfully so. You have Walker Buehler, who doesn't come back. And then you also have Dustin May, who gets hurt. I might be missing a name or two. And also, you're relying on Lance Lynn. And Zay, you know how I feel about Lance Lynn. Like, come on, what are we doing? So that being said, I think
Bobby
that
feels about Lance Lynn.
So that being said, I think that also them allowing Trey Turner to walk and allowing Justin Turner to walk and a few other players to walk, they really set it up to be a reset year so that they can go after Ohtani after the season is over, maybe even go after Juan Soto as well. So from that aspect, I don't really think they were really, or at least the front office was really expecting them to win the World Series. Of course, you have Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts, who are two MVP contenders, but overall, I think they're just looking at their hand and they're like, we're leaving here with something, and we've shown free agents that we can still win. And maybe you guys, if we bring you guys in, you guys will be the piece that will allow us to win another World Series. That being said, I think it has to be the Braves, man. I mean, I don't.
Before you move on, here's the thing, though. Like everything else, expectations adjust. So you may have begun the season that way, but when it was clear that they were going to lead the West, expectations change. I mean, you can't have that perspective from the beginning, and then you're at the top, and then you lose and say, well, we didn't think we'd be there. But you have a high payroll, you're a team with expectations, you're a team that's won recently. The expectations have to adjust and be higher once you've actually demonstrated, even on a reduced roster, we can still get it done. And they did until the playoffs.
Agreed. I think that we can see that both sides to this argument are valid. Now, What is the excuse for the Braves? I think that's the biggest letdown. I can't think of an excuse for the Braves at all.
The excuse is they won 2 years ago, man, so they don't even need they already got their title, man, so they're good. No, I don't know what it is, man, and kind of upsetting because they're a likable team. I mean, everybody on the team is just incredible the whole season. They're coasting. They had a little bit of a bump in August, but besides that, I mean, dude, this team was looked like they were the team for the season, and it all falls apart as soon as they start playing in the playoffs. So I don't know what the answer is. Luckily, they have those guys on slave deals, so they'll all be back for the next, 20 years. But I don't know what it was this year.
Yeah. I just think that has to be the biggest letdown. I like you have Ronald Acuña Jr., who, if not is an MVP, is probably a top two MVP.
Setting records.
Matt, you have Matt Olson, who, what did he hit? Like 50 home runs, some like 45 home runs, somewhere close to there, like 100 RBI, and he's not even being considered for MVP because of three other guys. So and the whole roster basically is hitting 20 home runs this season. I besides the fact that they had the week off, I don't really have an excuse for them. So that's why I think that they're the biggest letdown. But moving on, let's talk about some teams that are actually still playing, some teams that aren't on the couch right now. Let's talk about the Rangers and the Astros. The Rangers are up 2-0 right now. Like I said, before leading off this topic, despite Aroldis Chapman, the Rangers are up 2-0. They beat the Astros in game two of the ALCS 5-4. They also beat the Astros 2-0, I believe, last night. So that being said, we also have the Phillies and the Diamondback series starting right now. So we're down to four teams. As a baseball fan, for you personally, in terms of you being able to walk away from the season feeling satisfied, what is the best case scenario and the worst case scenario for you? And I think I can answer the worst case scenario for you already, the Astros winning a championship. So that being said,
Of course.
what is the best case scenario for you?
As a Yankees fan, there is no saving this season, man. The only thing that could save this season is if Brian Cashman was able to speak with his ancestors tomorrow. That would be the ultimate goal. If Brian Cashman said, "So long to the Yankees and this earth," that would be the preferable completion of the season. But short of that, it would certainly be that the Rangers win. I'm not someone who really hates Philly fans, but it's Northeast. I don't want a team from the Northeast to win. The Diamondbacks, no real connection, but I'm still thinking of 2001, man. So then you get down to the Astros, who under no circumstances do I want to win again. Their black magic tactics cannot work every year, and they failed a couple times, but as of late, keep on working. So I want the Rangers definitely. Out of the teams that are left to take this title.
Agreed. I would have to go with the Rangers. Although, I wouldn't mind the Diamondbacks winning just because, like you said, there's no real emotional attachment there. Now that the Braves are
2001,
out,
man. I remember Curt Schilling, man. I remember those days.
I mean, well, because you're old, but anyway. but anyway, I mean, like, there's no real attachment for the Diamondbacks winning for me, so I wouldn't mind that. Honestly, the best case scenario for me is a Rangers and Diamondbacks World Series, so then that way I can actually enjoy the World Series instead of being terrorized by a threat of the Astros winning, or not as much, but the Phillies winning as well. I do think the one silver lining to the Phillies potentially winning a World Series is that maybe Brian Cashman gets fired, because I don't understand how you just don't consider Bryce
Bryce
Harper.
Harper.
I just don't understand how you don't consider that when he's a top five face of the game, and he
Wanted
just
to play
prints
for the
money.
Yankees.
He wanted to play for the Yankees. He
Wanted to
prints
play for the
money. Like,
Yankees.
he's a national draw. I don't get it at all. Let's move on to another real sport. Let's talk about football. And we're gonna play a game. We're going to play a game called Are We Taking These Teams Seriously? And What Are the Ceilings for Each of These Teams? So I'm going to throw a team name, and then Isaiah, you are going to tell me whether or not you're taking the team seriously, and you're going to tell me what you think the ceiling for this team is. Make sense?
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
The New York Jets.
Their ceiling, man. Record at this point would really be something serious. If they were able to, because Zach Wilson, I mean, let's not forget, totally blew it. This is a guy who is the number two pick, straight out of BYU, and BYU, right? That's Zach Wilson.
Yes, I believe so.
So out of BYU. This is a guy who they expected to be a franchise quarterback. You drafted him second. Total failure. And you bring in Aaron Rodgers. You have this whole show. You bring in the receivers that he wants. You got his boy offensive coordinating. You do all this show because Zach Wilson can't change your team. Aaron Rodgers goes down one play into the fucking season, and Zach Wilson is out there, and he's not looking terrible. I mean, he's not great. It's not like they could just give up on Rodgers at this point, but it's like this guy can carry this team to a winning record. And so I think if they were able to do that, if they come out with the 9-8 at least, they got to be satisfied with that. Robert Saleh will get unlimited credit for his quarterback going down, the guy who they shifted the whole game plan around, going down in game one, and the guy who they, you know, forgot about picking him up and saying, we can still keep going. So that's the ceiling for them.
Are you taking them seriously?
No.
Okay.
That was a great win. I'm glad they won. I'm happy they won. But taking them seriously, it's a long season. And things change week to week in this league. The Eagles next week can win 60-0, right? So week to week is always something. But in terms of productivity, I'm liking what I'm seeing from Zach Wilson.
I got to say, I that defense finally showed up the way that we expect them to for the first 5 weeks before week six. I got to say, I'm taking them a little bit seriously. I don't know if I'm taking them Super Bowl seriously, but I'm taking them wild card exit series seriously at this point.
Here's the issue. The Patriots are basically dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're dead at this point. But in the rest of the division, you've got the Dolphins and mm-hmm. you've got the Bills. And mm-hmm. I know the Bills don't look strong. I know their mm-hmm. defense looks great, but there's just some issues going on in the offense right now. But they can, I think they're 4-2. They could be 3-3 at this point. But being said, I think that the Bills are still a top team. And the Dolphins are what, the best offense in history as of this moment. So they have a real uphill battle just even getting up to a wild card position with what they're doing.
Yeah. I think that there are some teams that are clearly the class of the league, and then it's just everybody else. And I think when we get into that everybody else category, I think that the Jets are a team that if everything's clicking right, and if Zach Wilson not only plays how he's played in week six, but continues to develop and become better as the season goes on, I think that I would take the Jets over most teams that I would consider in the rest of the pack. And that being said, I can see them snagging a wild card. Of course, there's always that, will he, won't he come back for Aaron Rodgers, which I guess he's throwing on the field now, which is kind of impressive being that he cracked his Achilles like 5 weeks ago at this point. So that's pretty impressive, I'm not going to lie. But moving on, I'm glad that you brought this team up. The Buffalo Bills, are you taking them seriously? And what is the ceiling for this team?
Yes, ceiling is Super Bowl. Of course I'm taking them seriously. Their offense, I really don't know what it is because they've got everything they need in order to be successful. Their defense has been great the whole way through, but there's just something not clicking between Allen, between some of the receivers. I know Dawson Knox apparently had some injury that he's coming back from, his hands. But, you know, that ball last night was in his hands to catch, and he just couldn't put it together. The run game has slowed up a bit. You still got Diggs. You still got some, you know, able receivers. And you got Josh Allen. And I feel like some of the nonsense has cut down from even the beginning of this season. But it just still seems like there's something that's not perfect about them. And in this league, you got to be perfect. Defense, as great as it is, hasn't been the greatest factor in teams that progress and eventually win over the last couple of years. So the defense being great is great, but what is necessary these days is an elite quarterback, which they have, and to put it together on offense, which they aren't.
Yeah. I'm not really taking them as seriously, honestly. And
you're
the
taking
reason,
the Jets seriously and not the Bills.
Here's why. I think Josh Allen is an elite talent. I don't know if he's an elite quarterback. He just does too many stupid things for me to call him an elite quarterback. He's an elite talent, but I think that at
what
this
is
point
the talent
in his career,
if not quarterback. He's a quarterback. What's the talent?
The talent is the arm strength. The talent is the ability to literally run over anyone he wants to. But the
Are you talking about reading
stupidity,
the game? That's where it
yeah,
is.
the stupidity is the fact that he wants to all he see all it seems that he wants to do. It seems like all he wants to do is run people over. I it seems like watching him play, he would rather run over a defensive lineman than hit Stephon Diggs for 50 yards. And because of that, it makes it difficult for me to take the Bills as seriously as I should. The defense is legit, like you said. But for them to really be contenders and for me to even consider Josh Allen beating Patrick Mahomes, he has to get smarter. He has to play smarter. And until I see that, I don't think I can really take them seriously. That being said, I am taking them AFC Championship Series seriously, but I'm not taking them Super Bowl seriously.
Okay.
Moving on to the Dolphins. Are you taking them seriously? And what is their ceiling?
Their ceiling is winning back to back, man. This offense is out of this world. They lost Achan, tanking my fantasy, but they lost Achan. And it seems like they didn't lose anything. I mean, Achane had been on fire this season. You lose him, and you're like, oh, we still have Mostert. Oh, we still have Tyreek. We still have Jalen. And you got Tua throwing. As long as there's no more concussions, this offense is set, man. This guy's got 20 seconds to throw the ball every single play. So their ceiling is how many times can we win? Can they do the LeBron? Not one, not two, not three, not four. So absolutely, I'm taking this team seriously.
It might be too soon for the Miami fans down there because I'm sure they wanted more than two. But anyway, yeah, I'm taking them seriously too. Like you said, like you have Tyreek Hill, you have Jalen Waddle, you have Raheem Mostert. Mike McDaniel is probably, in my opinion, a top three coach in the NFL right now because he's just so smart offensively. The way that he's
Best
able
black coach
to
in the league.
Yeah, like the way that he's able to scheme out Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle getting such easy lanes, and then Tua just delivering that ball, and then as soon as Tyreek touches it, it's a touchdown basically. So the way that he schemes it out is really impressive. Also, the fact that they now added Jalen Ramsey on defense is really, really impressive to me as well. So I'm definitely taking them seriously. I wouldn't be surprised if they make the Super Bowl, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they don't. I wouldn't be surprised if they like get kicked out the second round. So they're really one of they're probably the biggest wild card for me in terms of like they have like the ceiling to go as far as they want, but at the same time, there's just so many good teams in the AFC. Like anyone could get knocked out, you know?
They win with 70 and then get blown out the week after.
Because this is a Boston-based podcast. Isaiah, are you taking the Patriots seriously?
My friends in Peabody and Gloucester and
Franklin.
Lynn and not in Franklin. We were all at Duncan, right? Duncan. And they told me right after we left Harvard, they all said, I'm not taking this team seriously, man. They're a joke. This is going to be what makes Bill resign. So it would be totally unlike him to think of his successor, but it's about that time. I mean, if they don't pull something out of this season, there will be no support for him anymore next year. And you look at Mac. And he tanked this guy who I don't think was great, but he's useless now, as everyone else has been telling me. He's lost his confidence or whatever, doesn't believe in the Patriots to whatever degree. I don't know who does believe in the Patriots at this point. Maybe just Bill. So no, I think right now it's can they compete with the Giants for Caleb Williams? That's where we're at. Can they land Drake May next year?
Yeah. It's crazy to say, like in my lifetime, I can't remember a Patriots team this bad. I'm not taking them seriously. Let's move on. Baltimore Ravens, taking them seriously, yes or no?
No,
Why not?
don't know what it is, man. He tanked my fantasy last year. Something wrong with Lamar, man. I don't know what's going on. He needed Tucker to have the game of a lifetime to beat the Titans. I mean, that says a lot because the Titans are a disaster. And you look at it, Titans, they didn't have Malik Willis playing. They might have made that really a game at the end. Luckily, they had Malik Willis playing if you're a Ravens fan. So I'm not taking them serious. They did this whole, reinvigorating the lineup for Lamar. They got him options. And I don't know. He's just not making the throws. And I'm someone who has defended Lamar's arm for a long time. Like, this guy can really throw. He's not just running around. But not this season. I don't know what's going on with him. Maybe it's a injury. He's hiding behind doors, but I don't know what's going on with Lamar.
Yeah, I mean, eight drops, man. Like, I
think
the
receivers
that
are bad. The receivers are bad. I'm not denying that.
The eight. Like, whenever a quarterback goes through a game with so many drops, and you see how I could have caught one of those balls, one of those touchdown balls, honestly. So that being said, I don't think it's Lamar, but I do think something's going on over there. And for that reason, I'm also kind of out, honestly, but I do have the ultimate faith in Lamar. The Bengals, are we taking them seriously?
No, but you know what's going to happen? You're going to look at the end of the season and say, wait, the Bengals won 10 games. You can just feel it. You just know they're scraping stuff out. They're lucky that Geno had no awareness of his surroundings right at the end, because the Seahawks had, I don't know, three tries at the end zone in the fourth quarter at least. They had at least three times. And Geno just could not – you can't take sacks right at the end, man. And pause. And so I don't know what's going on there, but what I do know is the Bengals are scraping it out. They don't look like the team that they've been. We know Joe Burrow's hurt, but – look back in like 6 weeks, 7 weeks, you're gonna say 10 wins. Don't be surprised.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm also probably not taking them as seriously, mainly because Joe Burrow has been hurt. I do think that the Ravens giving away the game last week gives them more life. I think that the Ravens probably could have ran away with the division if they would have won that game and the receivers would have caught the ball against the Steelers. So given the fact that they have more life, I wouldn't be surprised if I see them in the second round, maybe in the AFC championship game as well. But overall,
you got like 40 teams in the AFC championship, man.
Hey, man, I mean, it's week six. You know, anything can happen.
I guess so.
Moving on, we have the Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Are we taking them seriously?
They got the 12th man on the field, man. 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. They got one in the end zone, one right behind the linebackers, one who has to touch the ball before the play runs. They got the guy on the sideline. Who can beat that? Who can beat that lineup? The black and white Chiefs are phenomenal this season. They've swung I don't know how many games. So when you got those kind of guys playing for you, how can't you win the Super Bowl?
I'm taking them seriously. It's Patrick Mahomes, man. And Travis Kelce. Only thing is that all this Taylor Swift coverage is annoying and might not watch any more Chiefs games until they get rid of that. But other than that, I'm taking them seriously.
They're rigging that shit. It's so fucking rigged every fucking week. It's disgusting.
All right, moving on to the NFC.
That's how you know this is a mental illness. Because why would I keep watching football when you can see it every week? Just tune into the Chiefs and you'll see it. But whatever.
The Philadelphia Eagles, the Super Bowl runner-ups, are we taking them seriously?
They might finish with one loss.
Yeah. All right. That's enough said. And I agree that that offensive line is crazy. Defense is still looking pretty good. I do have faith in Jalen Hurts to figure it out and look more like himself from last year. You have Devontae Smith and you have A.J. Brown, tight end. I think it's Dallas Goedert. Is there a tight end? Really, really good as well. How can I not take them seriously? The Dallas Cowboys.
I wish I was in the position as these Eagles fans, where they're upset that their team isn't winning by 30 every game. I wish that was my point of view. I wish my team won and I said, man, we should have won by more. That's what they're complaining about every week. The Cowboys, man.
Yes, the Cowboys.
Do you know who their quarterback is?
Yes.
Take them serious. I don't say they'll win 10, 11, 12 games, who cares? And then the playoffs will come and you'll say, oh, it's Dakota Prescott.
Yeah. Also, the fact that they have some injuries to Diggs, their corner, also makes me take them a little bit less seriously, too. I honestly, it's the Cowboys. The Cowboys are going to cowboy. Moving on, we have the San Francisco 49ers. Are we taking them seriously?
Every season. Doesn't matter who's playing.
If Mike McDaniel is not the smartest. He's the second smartest, and that's because of Kyle Shanahan. And to be honest, they kind of run the same system. So they might as well be they're tied as the number one smartest coaches in the NFL. I was about to say NBA. That's how you know I'm a little bit excited for basketball to come back. But yeah, no, that defense is crazy. Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, just a really good team. They're consistent every year. They're always in the NFC conference finals or championship conference championship every year. So how can you not take them seriously?
They lost a bad one with Moody yesterday. He missed both. Commentator Chris was in full effect, but that's not going to happen in many more weeks.
No, not at all. And I'm not sure of their schedule, but I don't expect much losses from them. The only team in the NFC that I can really hang my hat on having a high probability of beating them is the Eagles. And I think that's probably going to be one of the most entertaining games of the year. If it happens, I'm not really sure of the schedule.
Ever wish you could navigate the betting field with the confidence of a pro? Enter Odds Are. They're not a sports book, but they're the sports betting advisor you always needed. It's like having a playbook for smarter bets right in your pocket. I've been absolutely loving the experience, and I think you will too, especially since Celtics All Access listeners get a 30-day free trial. Elevate your game day and join the smart betting revolution. Go get it at oddsr.com/Celtics. That's oddsr.com/Celtics.
All right, let's move on to our final topic on this Real Sports edition of Dome Theory. Let's talk about the WNBA Finals. Here we have the New York Liberty versus the Las Vegas Aces. The Las Vegas Aces are currently up 2-1 after the Liberty won game 3 last night. Well, yesterday afternoon, at Barclays Center. Before we get into anything, I do want to address a comment made by Mike Wilbon, which made no sense. Mike Wilbon said, and I quote, "They are barely awake in Brooklyn. It is the worst home court advantage situation in terms of spirit in the entire NBA and the entire WNBA. It's the worst." Okay, so I went to game 3. The atmosphere was electric. They opened up the upper bowl for game 3, by the way. The attendance was 17,143. That is the fourth highest attendance for any game in WNBA history, and also the highest attendance for any WNBA finals in WNBA history. So that being said, let's not talk about things we don't know. That being said, we do have a game. We do have games to talk about here. We have the Aces and the Liberty.
You're going to talk down to a fellow Chicago native?
All I'm going to say is I'm not going to look at the Los Angeles Lakers crowd and apply the same logic to the Los Angeles Sparks. That just makes no sense.
Sure.
Okay. So that being said, like I said, the Aces are up 2-1. Game 4 is going to be at the Barclays Center. The upper bowl is open again, by the way. The only issue here is that Chelsea Gray, the lead facilitator for the Las Vegas Aces, apparently got hurt in game 3. It looked like people are speculating that it's an Achilles. Hopefully it's not. The team is officially saying it's a foot injury, but we don't really have any more information right now. And it's basically been like a day, since the injury seemed to have occurred. So we're going to have to see if she's able to suit up for game 4. But that being said, Isaiah, what are your thoughts on this WNBA finals so far?
Yeah, I'm glad that the Liberty, it looked scary at the start. I'm really glad that they won yesterday. It looked like some of Aja Wilson's magic. It rubbed off a little bit. Ionescu, you're still not getting not much from her, which is upsetting because during the regular season, I mean, she could ball in her WNBA career, in her college career. She was serious. But you know what it is? It's just not tapping in. The last couple of games that we've watched, it just hasn't been there for her. Luckily, you know, they still got like Jonquil Jones, they still got Breonna Stewart, you know what I mean? So they've got a lineup. They're in the finals. So obviously they've got a team ready to be there. They've got a coach that's ready to be there. But if Sabrina Ionescu could just put it together, I mean, they could really be upset and take it away from the Aces. On the Aces side, they're the Aces. I'm glad that this isn't a sweep because I would be strongly speaking about time to disband the Aces 1 year in after the regular season that they've had, after the playoffs that they've had. Thank goodness the Liberty got one back. And I think that the Liberty could really keep it going. So those are my thoughts.
Yeah. The Chelsea Gray injury is huge. I do think there's a strong, and bear with me here, I do think there's a strong case for no matter what happens, Jonquil Jones should be the MVP of these WNBA finals.
Is that right?
She had a double-double in game one, 16 points, 10 rebounds. A double-double in game two, 22 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 blocks. And in game three, she has 27 points, 8 rebounds, and 3 blocks. She's literally been the best player on the team for the past 5 or 6 games. You also see the way that she's able to make up for the bad defense being played by Inescu and Vandersloot. They're really just cones out there, if I'm being honest. And the Aces guards just really drive right past them. And then they got to deal with Jonquil. And then that makes them think a little bit before they back it out. And then they eventually dump it off to Asia Wilson. So just the impact that she's had offensively and defensively for the Liberty team is really the only reason why they're still in the series. Even the only reason why there is a series now in the first place, and we're not saying that the Las Vegas Aces are 2023 WNBA champions. That being said, I do want to see more from Breonna Stewart. She's the MVP after all, and this playoff, she has not played like it at all. I think that Asia Wilson has been playing well. Really, the first time I've seen her kind of look human has been game three, and that's also because of Jonquil Jones. Also, Jonquil Jones has 8 straight playoff games with a double-double, which is also a WNBA record, also adding on to my point for her being MVP no matter what. That being said, I also think that when you look at game one and game two and you compare it to game three, in game one and game two, the Liberty just came out like they thought they were going to get a participation trophy or something. Like, they did not play well at all. And it was apparent from the first quarter on in both games. And it was honestly really embarrassing, to the point where I was going into game three, going into the Barclays Center, watching it live, getting prepared to see them not put in the effort that they've put into the games all season, and prepared to boo like it's a baseball game. Honestly, like, that's how bad it's been for game one and game two. So seeing them have some life, also seeing that Chelsea Gray is hurt, obviously you don't want to see that, but that is an advantage to the Liberty if Chelsea Gray isn't able to play, or if she's played hobble on one leg. I think that's a huge advantage for them. But overall, you still have Jackie Young, you still have Kelsey Plum, you still have Asia Wilson. Kia Stokes is honestly really underrated, and the Aces are just built together. And also, Becky Hammon is really like a evil mastermind. She kind of, just like watching her on the sideline and just like her overall demeanor kind of reminds me of Quinn Snyder, where you're just looking at them and you're like, if they really wanted to, they could probably aim for world domination. Good thing they're focusing all their energy on basketball. That's the energy, the vibe I get from Becky Hammon. So overall, it's been a really entertaining series. I'm glad that it's 2-1 Aces, and Liberty have a chance to potentially win 3 straight games. Let me knock on wood, 3 straight games, and take home a WNBA finals, which would be huge for the league.
Yeah, they got another one. When is it?
Wednesday
at home. They got another game at home, in New York. So I looked at it just to make sure. Ionescu 3 of 9, at home. You gotta get some production out of her if you want to keep this going.
I do think one of the reasons why they were able to win game three and one of the things they changed between game one, game two, and game three is the fact that they used Inescu in game three more as a facilitator. I believe she had like 10 assists, maybe 11 assists. They used her more as a facilitator. You don't see her taking those stupid shots. She can make those shots, but it's just so frustrating when you see her pull up from a logo and it just airballs. And it's like, well, Jonquil Jones was open, Breonna Stewart was open, why did you take that shot? Doesn't make any sense. So I think that them starting to understand that Inescu is still young and maybe you can't rely on her as much in this high pressure situation as you should be able to from like someone like Breonna Stewart, Jonquil Jones, 2 players who have been there before and have won WNBA championships. Benaja Laney, who is really good defensively and knocks down the occasional 3, sometimes just knocks them down in buckets in droves like that. So being able to adjust that strategy, I think, is helpful. It allows Inescu to be more a facilitator, play smarter basketball, which is really all I really want from her. And I think that within itself gives them a better chance to win versus just giving Sabrina Inescu the ball and watching her play cook her offense. Like, that's not going to win anything.
I'd like to see some cooker offense.
That being said, do you have any predictions for game four?
Liberty by 20, man. Liberty to the moon.
Look at you earning that that honorary New York City card. Love to see it. That being said, this has been Dome Theory. I am your host, Nate Sperling. That is oh my God, it's like the cat podcast. I'm about to call you Taylor. I really, really was. It's so muscle memory now.
So if you mess, you gotta read my full title now. I need the full title.
I'm not this has been Dome Theory. Title. I am Nate Sperling. That is Isaiah Nins. Thank you for watching. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Check out all the CLNS content. Make sure you head over to the Old Milk YouTube page, Old Milk Media, and check out my podcast, The Cap, where we review music every so often. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Old Milk Media. That being said, we are out, and hopefully Bobby will be back on the next episode where he can talk about how great the Daniel Caesar concert was. So, yeah, we are out. Thanks for watching.
Syracuse off for the week. Thank God. We're taking that win versus VT. Let's go, Big O.
You don't believe that?
Nah, well.
All right, we're good.